Psalm 23 is on page 533 in the church Bibles. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That last verse is David's conclusion as he considers his future. And you see, there's no worry, no fear, no anxiety, just contentment. Surely, he says, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Do you see the contentment there? The total assurance that all is well and always will be. And this is a remarkable conclusion given what we know of David's life. I mean, his life was full of trouble. Much of it was spent on the run, being chased all around the country by enemies and their armies trying to hunt him down and kill him. Worse still, some of these enemies were once very close to David, once showing him honor and gratitude, and then turning against him without just cause, suddenly and savagely. You remember, there was jealous King Saul and scheming Absalom, his own son. And when David wrote this psalm, he was not overlooking these episodes in his life. In fact, he alludes to them, to darkness and death, fear, evil, enemies. I'll bet when he wrote it, they were on his mind. And yet he finishes with this remarkable conclusion. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Now, how can he do that? How can he have such confidence, such contentment when he considers the future? And that's our goal this morning, to work that out. And there are several wonderful answers for us. The first is this: because of God's commitment towards him. I have a formula I'd like to share with you in this sermon and build it as we go along. And it starts, commitment equals contentment. God's commitment equals our contentment. In this psalm, there are two pictures used to describe God. There's the shepherd and his sheep, verses 1 to 4, and the host with his guest, verses 5 to 6. You see there, the picture changes. We leave the valley and the fields, and we enter the house. There's a table with a meal prepared and a cup overflowing. And the question to ask is this: in David's day, what did the shepherd and the host have in common? What did they have in common? And the answer is that both were totally committed to those in their care. Back then, things were very different for a host. The obligation to protect and provide for your guest was huge. It sounds quite strange to us because things are very different today. It's increasingly rare just even let a stranger come into your house. And maybe if we shared a cup of tea and a biscuit with him, that would be about the height of hospitality, right? But back then it was different. Back then the host was committed to protect his guest at all costs, no matter what. You might remember Lot when he put up two strangers for the night. And he took them into his own home. He prepared a meal for them himself. And later, when danger came, his priority to protect them was greater even than his concern for his own family. It's so surprising. The welfare of his guests was more important than the welfare of even his own daughters. Such was the level of commitment from the host to the guest in David's day. And then there's the shepherd. We're told when David was a shepherd, sometimes his flock would come under attack by a wild animal. Once a bear and once a lion. And when it happened and the beast in its hunger carried off one of his sheep, we're told David actually ran after it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when the beast turned on him, he struck it and killed it. Now that takes some commitment, doesn't it? And wonderfully, these are the images David uses to describe God, his shepherd and his host. It means total commitment, no matter what. And it brings David great contentment about the future. Well, you and I know of another host who's gone to prepare a place for his guests, and a shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. And if he, Jesus, is our shepherd and our host, then we also can have the greatest assurance and contentment when we contemplate the future because of his commitment towards us. Commitment equals contentment. The second reason in the psalm for David's contentment is God's competence. Commitment plus competence equals contentment. Now, competence means doing all things well, never messing up, keeping everything under control, being ready and able for every circumstance. And we find in the psalm that the Lord is not merely the committed host, he's the competent host and the competent shepherd. You see verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Why? Well, because he's of the sort of shepherd he is. He's a competent shepherd. Verse 2, do you see how competent he is to meet our physical needs? He makes me lie down in green pastures. What's this sheep doing lying down in green pastures? I mean, you never see a hungry sheep lie down in green grass. This shepherd has his sheep that stuffed. They just have to lie down. All it can do is stretch out and have a snooze. Maybe a bit like us on a Sunday afternoon. And you see how, verse 3, do you see how competent he is to meet our spiritual needs? Verse 3, he refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. As well as the rod, which was a big club like a baseball bat used for bashing bears, the shepherd also had a staff with a hook at the end, which was for bringing back onto the right path those sheep of his that had gone wandering off. And that's my testimony right there. A stupid, silly sheep whose heart is always wandering off, and yet whose shepherd is always bringing me back. Such is his competence. Maybe there are some here today conscious of having wandered off from your shepherd? Why not ask him to bring you back, to restore and refresh your soul? He is able to do it. He's the competent shepherd and the competent host. Sometimes a host's commitment is not enough. Maybe he really does want to look after his guests, and maybe he tries as hard as he can, but he just can't do it because there are some things just outside his control. Like a picnic in the park. It should be a very easy thing to do. But sometimes the ants arrive. Or those little blood-sucking midges. Or wasps or some mad dog comes along. And it spoils it. Or the clouds come and it starts to rain. Some things are outside the host's control. But not this host. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me, David says, in the presence of my enemies. This is no ordinary host. In fact, it's a picture of a very powerful king, one with a mighty empire. After yet another successful campaign, hosting a celebration, and the weaker kings who surrendered early and promise their loyalty and tribute, enter into a covenant with him as his vassals, enjoying his peace and protection, which is all signed and sealed with this great banquet where the king anoints the heads of his new vassals with some fragrant oil. However, those who resisted, those who refused to surrender early, after subsequently being brought to ruin and captured, are made to line up and watch while the king and his vassal guests enjoy their lavish feast. And though these enemies standing there may be all full of hatred, there is not a single thing they can do about it. And David, who was Israel's king, one of Israel's greatest kings, in using this picture, declares himself a vassal to the Lord. He's actually doing the same thing when he declares the Lord as his shepherd. Back then, kings were also called shepherds. And the Lord in this psalm is no ordinary shepherd, no ordinary host. He's the all-powerful King of Kings, before whom even David surrenders his crown in humble, reverent submission. And as a result, he enjoys complete contentment when he considers his future. Despite all those enemies of his, with all their threats and all their evil scheming, he enjoys the peace of the Lord's protection. He knows nothing can happen to him outside the Lord's control. God is not only committed to looking after him, he's competent, ready and able for every circumstance. And that great shepherd king, Jesus, shares this strange and wonderful combination of love and lordship. He's a shepherd who loves his people, who laid down his life for them, and yet now sits at God's right hand, being given the name high above all other names, before whom every knee will bow. And when we surrender to him, when we enter into covenant with him, we enjoy the peace of his protection. Nothing can happen to us outside his control. Nothing can take him by surprise. He's not just committed to looking after us. He's also perfectly competent. And that should bring great contentment. Well, there's another reason for David's contentment: God's closeness. our formula. God's commitment plus his competence plus his closeness equals our contentment. Do you see there, verse 4? In the darkest valley, why it is David is so content? Why he will fear no evil? Because, verse 4, God is with him. Because God is close. You know, sometimes it takes the dark valleys and the dangerous enemies to make us stop grazing and look up and see where our shepherd is and know his closeness. It's interesting, the language shifts from describing the Lord as he in the green pastures to describing the Lord as you in the dark valley and when enemies are around. It's like the darker our valley and the more dangerous our enemies, the more we feel our shepherd's presence. Ultimately, each of us must face the darkest valley of all, the valley of the shadow of death. What a difference it will make on that day, having the Lord as our shepherd. Do you see the difference it makes for David? Verse 4. Is he panicking? How does it begin? Does it say, I run away in the darkest valley? I cower in fear in the valley of the shadow of death? No. He says, I walk through the darkest valley. How, David, can you walk calmly and purposefully? Well, he says, I walk through. Death is not the destination. It's the door to be passed through. This valley is the way home. And the walk is not made alone. The wonderful thing about our Lord's closeness is it never stops. Even through death, David says, you are with me. In hospital, when we visit someone who's dying, isn't it true? We can only go with them so far, and then they're on their own. We can only hold their hand part of the journey, and then they're on their own. What a difference it makes having the Lord as our shepherd. It means he is with us in the valley, with us as we pass through, and with us in our new life beyond, where we dwell in his house forever. It's a wonderful truth, one to hold dear. God's closeness and his nearness that brings deep contentment. Now, if you're not a Christian, this is what's on offer. The all-powerful Shepherd King Jesus is throwing you a lifeline. Surrender to him and enter a relationship with him where he is totally committed and totally competent and intimately close. Isn't that so much better than being worried about the future, anxious about what lies round the corner, and fearful because you just don't know what life's going to throw at you next? Isn't it better than resisting and refusing to surrender, and one day having to face him in his wrath? Make Jesus your shepherd, and you can say, like David, I lack nothing. Make him your king, and you can say, even on your deathbed, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Death is just a shadow, and I'm going to walk on through. If we've already surrendered to him, this psalm should leave us rejoicing. If life has been difficult lately, do be encouraged. these paths he guides us on might not make sense to us, but they are the right ones to him. Take heart in the shepherd's commitment and in his competence, in his love and in his lordship. There's nothing outside his control. Find contentment in his nearness. Well, as I finish, I asked someone very special what she liked most about this psalm. And she said, verse 6, it's the following. Surely, verse 6, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. If you leave your home, leave your family and your friends for a new place, God's goodness and his love follows. Even if you go halfway around the world and leave everything behind, you can't leave these behind. They follow like two guardian angels, specially commissioned all the days of your life. It's a wonderful song, well known, well read, but never worn out. One to come back to again and again. Well, let's pray. Lord, we're overwhelmed by your commitment to us. We marvel in your competence. We rejoice in your closeness. We ask that knowing you as our shepherd and host will bring deep contentment no matter what valleys come our way. Amen.